Well, let's get into the Word and find out again how faithful our God is. Leviticus chapter 17 this morning. Leviticus chapter 17. These last few chapters of Leviticus haven't been the easiest ones for us to go through. But we're changing gears today. I kept telling everybody after Wednesday night, chapter 15 is a good one to be done with. If you were here Wednesday, you know why. One of those you go, maybe you shouldn't get the tape. Because, no, get it. It's Well, Leviticus chapter 17, beginning with verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul, the Lord says, that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. If you were to go to a delicatessen for lunch that was owned and operated by Jewish folks, you could rest assured that what was served to you for lunch would be kosher, which means that any of the meat that's served would have been properly drained of all its blood and then prayed over and blessed by a rabbi. So kosher simply means that, in case you didn't know. It means that the blood has been drained out of the meat of the animal. And you could go to a kosher deli, you see, and have a kosher sandwich or whatever, kosher corned beef or whatever you might want, and that's all it means, you see. Now, the reason to this day that the Jews do that, drain the blood out of the meat, is given to us here in this text. This is the place where you find this ordinance to be given, that no blood was to be eaten, so they were meticulous about draining the blood out of the meat, as they still are today. And the instruction that was given here was taken very, very seriously by the Jews. They were to eat no blood, none whatsoever. But as with much of God's word that's given to man, the ordinances are typically focused upon. The rules are basically taken into consideration, you see. But what it means is not necessarily known or taken or focused upon. This is the case with the Jews oftentimes. And it can be the case for anyone, anybody, any Christian as well. Taking what the word says rather than what it means. What does this mean anyway? Well, they know they can't eat blood. That's a given. But why not? Verse 11 says, for the life, the Lord says, of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, the question would arise then, of course, well, if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then why not eat the blood and have life? Makes sense? Verse 11 continues. The Lord says, I have given it to you, the blood, upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. God gave the people the blood upon the altar for an atonement for their sin, for their souls. It was a covering for their sin. Remember? The blood that was shed on the altar, the sacrifices that were made, were only a covering. Because, of course, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 tells us the blood of bulls and goats can't take away our sin. But it could cover it temporarily, which is what it did. It covered their sin back there. And God said, I've given the blood upon the altar as an atonement for your souls, you see. It was a covering because the wages of sin was death, you see. And God says, the life is in the blood, which is on the altar. The life is in the blood. The blood on the altar, of course, speaks of who? Jesus Christ. We've talked about this over and over. Remember the burnt offering? They would sacrifice the animal, and then they would lay him out there on the altar, and he would be consumed by the fire completely, a burnt offering, remember? That offering was Jesus Christ. He was consumed completely. He took our penalty totally. The sins that you and I have committed, and everybody on earth that's ever lived has committed, were taken and consumed on that altar. Jesus' blood, you see, was shed as an atonement. God was telling these folks in a very direct way that the blood was to be separated for that reason. You're not to mingle it with anything else, not even the meat that it came out of. It was to be separate. The blood was to be put aside for this specific use only. It's on the altar. That's it, you see, not to be eaten. Which, of course, means that the value of life, folks, listen carefully, the value of life for these people would depend upon the value they gave the blood. And this is exactly true for you today. For anyone today, the value of your life is going to be based upon the value you place upon the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't place value on the blood, your life has no value. Because, hey, there's life in the blood. Where the life is, you see. Now, this is, of course, why we consider the blood of Jesus to be so incredibly valuable. Right? Oh, how precious. We sing those songs. How precious is the flow, you know, that flow of blood from Jesus Christ. We love those pictures and those types that we see of the blood in the scriptures. Now, of course, people don't understand that. And if you talk about this with people who aren't believers in Jesus Christ, they think you're kind of nutty, think you're kind of sick and morbid, talking about blood all the time. But we know how precious the blood is. Don't we? And so here, you see, these people were told, hey, the life is in the blood. The value of life is in the blood. But once again, keep in mind, the Jews knew what the word said, but didn't often know what it meant. And so they followed the ordinances, you see. And again, this is still a huge problem, folks. Hearing the word and knowing what it says, you see, but not knowing what it means. Going through books like Leviticus can be challenging because you could certainly read these stories and read these accounts and think, well, that was nice. What does that mean? And we're supposed to say that. We're not supposed to just say, huh, well, that was good. Okay, let's move on. Not even knowing what these stories mean, what these things that are given to us here in the scriptures mean. That's a tragedy. It's tragic to know what the word says and not to know what it means. And so it goes on to this day, you see, what God's word says. But for them, I have a feeling most of these folks didn't know what this meant. Don't eat blood. Okay. Why not? Why not? What does it mean? Why wouldn't they eat the blood? Well, we just said the blood was not to be eaten, you see, by anyone for any reason because the blood was on the altar, you see. And that's all the Jews knew. Maybe, perhaps a select few, a remnant we might say, knew what this really meant. Knew that the blood, you see, represented something beyond just the animal that was sacrificed there on the altar. But all they knew was, you know, whatever you do, don't eat blood. And of course, if a stranger came into the camp there of the Israelites, you know, and they started carving on a piece of meat, you know, the Jews would have to tell them, wouldn't they? Hey, whatever you do, don't eat the blood. Let us drain that for you properly. Because you can't eat the blood. Word says, even if a sojourner or a stranger comes into camp, don't let them eat it. Don't eat the blood. Now, this is all they knew. They were taught over and over again, and this ordinance still goes on to this day. Now, move ahead 1,500 years. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6. The Jews, again, being taught for hundreds and hundreds of years that they were never, never, ever to eat blood. No way, no how. And then we come to a carpenter from Galilee who's on the scene teaching the word, sharing truth, gaining attention. Crowds are gathering. And here's what he says in John chapter 6, verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, every single person that heard Jesus say those words would have said, what is going on? What is he saying? What's he saying this for? Why is this Jesus, this one who's supposed to be, you know, a holy man, a prophet, why is he telling us to eat his flesh and drink his blood? We've been taught for 1,500 years, you don't eat blood. Period. And see, at the beginning of John's gospel of this same chapter, this chapter 6, Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 with bread. With bread. So Jesus takes the opportunity here in verse 48 to say, I am the bread. Because they were still following him. This was just after he fed them. And they're still hanging around. Why? Well, because he fed them bread. Miraculously. He was a meal ticket for many of them. I wonder how many people use Jesus as a meal ticket. Well, I'll tell you how many. Anybody. Everybody. Does. See, even an unsaved person lives off the good that God gives. God's their meal ticket. He's their air. He's their food. He's their water. If God didn't provide those things, nobody would live. You see, nobody would survive. But these people were following Jesus, many of them, to find out what he was going to do next. You know, I mean, he fed us just a little while ago with all this bread. I mean, he's miraculously making food. So, you know, he used, though, this opportunity, Jesus did, to tell them about himself being the bread of life. I'm the bread of life, Jesus said, you see. And The Jews were used to bread as an illustration. The manna in the wilderness, of course, was their heritage. They knew all about the manna. It was part of their lives, you see. So Jesus tells them that their fathers ate manna in the wilderness, he said there. But what? Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they are all dead. They all died. But he says, if a man eats this bread that I give, he'll never die. Now, it's one thing to use yourself as a metaphor when you're speaking about bread. But then Jesus takes it a little bit too far. And he says in verse 40 or 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And he says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Well, we were with you, Jesus, when you're talking about the manna. Bread of life. Okay, but whoa, wait a minute. Now you're saying the bread that you give us is your flesh? You see, so it says in verse 52 there that the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're hearing his words. They don't know what it means. So they strove, you see, among themselves. How can this be? Then, without missing a beat, Jesus tops it all off there in verse 53 by saying, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Oh, no. Now you've really done it. Lord, now you've really, really done it. He's told all these people, all these Jews, who have for 1,500 years been taught and observed the fact that you just don't eat blood, period. Now he's saying, not only eat my flesh, but drink my blood. I don't think you have any conception of the impact that would have made on those people. It would have just fried their brains. It would have just stirred them up so that their blood would be boiling, some of them. Some of them would just be pulling on their hair and ripping their clothes. They would be so outraged by what he said. But he doesn't stop. He says there in verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, as not as your fathers did eat and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now these things said he in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Just another day at the synagogue? I think not. See, anytime Jesus showed up, it wasn't just another day at the synagogue. And I'll tell you something. Wherever Jesus shows up, it's not just another day at church. It's not just another day in Bible study. It's not just another day, period. Is it? And here, it's not just another day at the synagogue. Things are stirred up. Things are really riled up, really. There's people that are wondering, and people that are chewing on stuff, and people that are considering what he's saying. And isn't that the way it needs to be? Don't we need to wonder about what his word says? And don't we need to just be kind of chewing on things and even getting riled up sometimes and getting stirred up in our hearts sometimes? Isn't that the way it needs to be? Who wants to sit around, you know, just kind of going, well, it's great to be a Christian today. You know, hey, I love the word because it causes me to do the same thing. What? What? How does that work? And how does that fit in? And Lord, what does this mean? And that's what was happening. In verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said," this is a hard saying, who can hear it? "Many of his own followers said," this is hard to hear, but listen carefully, folks, listen very carefully. "This is hard to hear," they said, but they did not say, "We don't understand." It was hard to hear, but it would not be hard to understand. They know what he's saying, but it caused them to murmur, verse 61. And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Does this offend you? This idea that you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, does this offend you? So Jesus asked them, are you offended? Are you troubled by this? Does this offend you? See, there's the real issue in all this, in everything that we know in the Word, everything, whether you think it's an ordinance or a rule or part of the law or part of the New Testament and full of grace and mercy, whatever you know about the Word, understand this, folks. This is the issue. They were offended at what he said, you see, not necessarily confused, but offended, because the word there for offended is scandalized. They were scandalized at what he said, not confused. They knew what he said. They weren't going, "Did we hear you right?" Because they were looking at him saying, "What?" They were scandalized, offended at him, you see. Because he claimed to come out of heaven, and then that's not bad enough. Then you're telling us to eat your body, eat your flesh, and drink your blood. My goodness, what are you trying to do here, Lord? Even his disciples were murmuring. But you see, he says back in Leviticus, our God says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus doesn't leave them hanging there, even if some might have been confused. He was going to clear up the confusion, folks. He explains what he's saying in verse 62. He says, well, does this offend you? He says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What if you see me ascend to where I was before? And then he goes on to say this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, hey, I'm speaking of my spirit. The physical flesh, he says, is nothing. So this should have caused them to go, we thought you were talking about cannibalism. But they already apparently, listen, knew that. They knew that he wasn't speaking of eating his body. Jesus says, it's not my physical flesh. That profiteth nothing. But he says and gives them the clue that they would have all understood. And we do too. He gives them the clue, verse 63 says. He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some, he says, of you that believe not. This was not a matter, listen, of understanding him. This was a matter of believing him. And that's the way it is. Most of the time, folks, we can play the game with the Word of God and say, well, I don't understand that. Well, yeah, that's nice. Real convenient to not understand the word, because when we don't understand it, we feel like we don't have to do it. What are you talking about, eating your flesh and drinking your blood? I don't get that. Well, I'm not going to do that. See, I don't understand. I don't get it. Therefore, if I don't get it, I don't have to do it. And some people are selectively ignorant about all kinds of scripture. Don't understand that. Over my head. But here's the thing. Jesus said, I'll explain this to you. The words that I'm speaking unto you, they're spirit and they are life. It's not the flesh I'm talking about here, but there's some of you that believe not, he says. So the question is, if the flesh profiteth nothing, then how do we eat his flesh? Well, at the beginning of John's gospel, those famous words John speaks, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We eat, folks, his flesh and drink his blood by his Word. The life of the flesh is the blood. Leviticus tells us. The life of the flesh is the blood. We are often accused, again, of being bloody people because we believe this stuff. You guys are bloody, always talking about blood. Well, that's true. But so many people are offended by the blood. And the result of what Jesus' words were, not the first part. Listen carefully, folks. This is the part that I always looked at and was confused over myself. The part that caused these people, as they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? As his own followers said that, the result of what Jesus said after that, no, it's not the flesh that I'm speaking about. It's the spirit. The words that I speak, they're spirit and life. And then, at that point, you see, at that point, then it says, verse 66, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The result of Jesus' words, hey, this is spirit I'm talking about. This is life. It's not flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Then it's not going to trouble you, is it, that I say to eat my flesh and drink my blood? But then it was at that point that they said, whoa, wait a minute. And they went no more with him. They walked no more with Jesus. It's interesting that that verse is John 6, 6, 6. And they would not walk with him any longer. Why? The result of the truth that Jesus was teaching them was he lost followers. I got to tell you something, folks. The teaching of God's word will always have that effect on some. The truth of God's word will constantly drive some people away. It's a hard saying. Who can hear that? And they're not saying, I don't get it. They're saying, I don't want it. I don't want that. Who can hear that? Man, I can't hear that. And so often people will sit and listen to the word being taught and go, well, that's enough of that. I've had my fill. I'm out of here. I'm not going to, you know, listen to that, you know. Sometimes I can see it. I can see it in people's faces. Okay, as soon as the service is over, that's it. I'm never coming back here again. Who does he think he is? You know, you can you can have that response. People can take off when they hear the truth. You see, Jesus said back there in verse 62, you know, he said, hey, does this offend you? Well, what if you see me lifted up? And he was speaking of going back to heaven where he came from, surely. But I believe more importantly, he was speaking of what's going to happen. If you're offended at me now, followers, right now, as I speak these words, what's going to happen when I'm lifted up? And sure, he's going back to heaven, but first, what was going to happen? He was going to be lifted up on a cross. If this offends you, if my words offend you, Jesus was saying, what are you going to do when I'm hanging on the cross? Well, we know what happened. Most every one of his followers scattered. You think it's offensive to hear Jesus say, hey, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What about when he's hanging on a cross like a common criminal being crucified? Who hung around him then? Who stood by him then? Very few. Some women and the one apostle who penned this gospel, John. All the rest were gone. You're offended at me now, Jesus said. What's going to happen when I'm lifted up? And you see, this is the real crux of it, isn't it? What is it that offends people? Well, talk about religion all you want. Talk about God generically all you want. But start bringing Jesus into the picture. Start talking about the blood of Jesus and clear a room out as quickly as you want. You just want to get through the crowd, you see? You're in a group there and kind of getting crowded. You want to move from here to there. Just start talking about Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Everybody will just move. It'll just be like parting the Red Sea. You know what I mean. It's true. The blood of Jesus. No, talk about that. You know, that's offensive. You know, what are you doing? You can't do. Blood of Jesus. See? Blood of Jesus. And people just move out of the way, you see. If this offends you, wait till I'm hanging on the cross, you see. That would really cause offense. The question this morning, you all wrestle with this, I think, but what is it, guys? What is it in the Word that offends you? What is it that Jesus speaks, that he says, that causes you to be offended? And does it cause you to pull away like these? Like these disciples, these followers, they heard what he said. No, this is hard to hear. I can't hear that. And they walked no more with him. They walked away and wouldn't walk with him. What is it in the Word that offends you? It causes you to say, I don't know. That's hard to hear. I don't want to hear that. You see, Peter was asked, along with the other 12, there in verse 67, after many of the disciples walked away. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And then it was Simon Peter who answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now it's interesting. Jesus says, are you guys going to go away too? Because of what I say? And Peter answers, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Good point, Peter. Good point. Where are you going to go? See, Peter knows, listen guys, Peter knows this is a hard saying, but not because it's confusing. It's not confusing and hard. It's just hard to take. And because, you see, it's offensive to the people that are there listening in, who hear these words that convict and confound what their flesh is feeling and dealing with. Hey, they're concerned and they're confounded to the point that they can't hear it any longer. But Peter says, I understand what you're saying. And it's the words that you're speaking that have eternal life. See, he understood. It was the word. That's it. You're speaking about the words that you speak. And your words give eternal life, you see. He knew that Jesus wasn't speaking of physical flesh and blood. But why would Jesus' words be taken so badly? Why is it sometimes when you read your Bible, you'll see many things that you might find hard to take? His sayings, his words are hard, listen, they are hard for carnally minded people. And listen, I know when I'm in the flesh, when I'm sinful about something, his sayings, his words is hard for me to hear. When I'm dealing with something in particular, how often does this happen to you? You're dealing with something specifically in your life, a sin. You're in the flesh about something. You've got a problem dealing with this. You're wrestling with that. How often does it happen that you open your Bible and you start reading it and all of a sudden, there it is? As if God knew that you were dealing with that. Happens all the time. And it's hard to hear, isn't it? Don't you go, oh no. There it is again. You turn on the radio, you know, I'll listen to a Bible study on the radio. Huh? What's he saying that for, you know? I get the cards from you guys. Were you reading my mail? Do you have my house bugged? All that. I don't have a clue, but the Lord does. And it's so amazing to me that constantly, you know, you hear from the Lord and he keeps bringing it up. And what? It's hard to hear. But it's hard to hear. Why? Because I don't want to do it. Hard. This is a hard saying, they said. We're walking away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. But here's the problem. If I don't hear him, then what am I hearing? If I don't walk with him, then where am I walking? Just like they did that day, you know, this is hard. We're not walking with you anymore. Peter said, Lord, you have what we need to hear. Eternal life. And where else are we going to walk? We can't walk anywhere else. We need to walk with you and hear what you have to say. That's the only thing that's important. You know how I pray that this would be true of us more and more? How awesome that would be if all of us Christians, you see, could say with conviction, I don't want to hear anything else. And I don't want to walk anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want to hear anything else. Keep it up, Lord. Keep telling me what I need to hear. Keep bringing it up, you see. Let your word, you see, which is life for me, keep being spoken to me. I don't want to see, hear, or go anywhere else. Even though it's a hard thing for me to hear. You see, it's a hard saying for me to take in. I want you to keep talking and keep showing and keep walking. I love the reality of Jesus' blood. I know it's the life of this flesh. The life of this flesh is his blood. God said, don't eat that animal blood because I've separated blood away from you in that way because there's only one that's going to shed the blood that you need. And the life of your flesh is in his blood. My flesh has no life apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. And he gives me his blood and he gives me his flesh. I eat it. I consume it every single day in his word. That's why, you see, we're so taken and we're so hung up on the blood of Jesus Christ because his blood gives life. There is no other way, you see. Flesh and all, I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. And you see, if the life of my flesh, folks, is in something else, then that can be a problem for me. And to the degree that I say, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying in your word, but that's a hard saying for me. And to the degree that I say, I don't think I can hear that. I don't think I want to hear that. I don't want to walk in that. To that degree, you see, my life is not in the blood. Not that I'm taken out of my position of salvation, but I am not walking. My life, the flesh that I have, you see, the life of it is something else, and that's a tragedy. And so many people are out there trying to make the life of their flesh something other than the blood of Jesus, and they come up empty. Right? There's nothing else out there that will fill my life, that will satisfy like the bread and the blood. And many people try to make the life of their flesh something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Those disciples did that day. Those followers of his, other than the 12, they all just kind of walked away. The children of Israel were to keep the sacred blood separate from all else, because the blood on the altar made atonement for their sin. And so too, we need, folks, to keep his blood precious to us. It's for our sin, it's for our life, it's for giving us sustenance in every way. The most important thing that Jesus did was shed his blood. Why would I not embrace that with everything that's within me? You see, it's where the life is. And I just wonder today, have you perhaps been trying to find the life of your flesh in something else? The life that you've been given, have you been trying to find it and fill it in something else? It's emptiness, isn't it? It's vanity. And we come back to this truth over and over, because this is the truth, folks. There is no life, Jesus said, unless you eat me. So what do we do here? Well, we are hungry people, and we eat. And we eat. And we eat. And we eat, and we eat. Okay, all right, it's almost noon, I'm hungry. We eat him. We eat him again and again. We take in the word over and over again. Why? Because it's life for us. How many could not stand to go through any portion of your life without God's word? What would you do without his words? Even when they're hard to say, especially when they're hard to hear, what would you do without them? Well, you'd probably be like those disciples and say, well, I'm just going to walk somewhere else. Take him at his word. It's where the life is. It's where the fulfillment and satisfaction of our souls is. So blessed that Jesus is so pointed, even when people say, ah, that's hard. Okay to say it's hard, as long as you're willing to do it. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for, again, the word which is spirit and life, and the things, Father, that you say are profound. They're rich and they're amazing. And Father, I just pray for many of us today, perhaps that, Father, have found some things in your word hard to hear. And we know, Lord, that so often it's because there's something that we're dealing with that we just don't want to let go of, or perhaps we don't want you to have access to that. I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to your word and always be mindful of the precious blood of your sacrifice. It's where life really exists for us. The life of our flesh, the life of our lives, Lord, is in the blood of Jesus. May we know it with everything that's within us. And Father, may we not be ashamed. May we not be offended by that truth. And Lord, by the reality that the world thinks it's crazy, and they don't understand why we are so in love with Jesus and talk about his blood all the time. And I pray, Father, that you would just Make us, Lord, stronger by your word. Make us, Lord, by your spirit, fuller, more aware, more in tune. And give us hard sayings that we might wrestle through them and then submit to you. Bless you for that. I thank you for this word today, Lord, and I thank you for these here. I pray your blessing on my brothers, my sisters, that you would just go before them, Lord, this week and enrich their lives. May they find themselves, Lord, just drawn to you, taking your word and Lord, really, truly just being taken in by the goodness of it. Speak to us, Lord, in many ways, whatever we need to hear, and we'll thank you for it and praise your name always. We commit that to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.